Matthew 24, starting in verse 36. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now, I want you to see here that we can know the season, but we can't know the day or the hour. One of the points we need to make is here, at this time, Jesus wasn't just speaking that at that time he doesn't know the day and the hour. He was speaking, period. He will not know the day or the hour until the Father makes that decision. When he says, no one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father, he wasn't just speaking in his state as a man, that, you know, after he was resurrected and he would know it. It doesn't go that way, because it says like this. All right. He tells them very carefully. The master of that servant, verse 50, will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he's not aware of, and he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this is important. Jesus comes at an hour that we're not aware of. Jesus cannot tell us that day or hour, even now. So anyone who comes along and says that since Jesus has been resurrected, and therefore he knows the day and the hour now, and can reveal it to us, they're lying. Jesus cannot tell us that, the day of the hour. Over and over in all of these parables, it talks about even the ten virgins. Therefore, keep a watch, because you don't know the day or the hour. That's in Matthew 25, verse 13. The parable of the talents. In the same chapter. He says, take the talent from him, verse 28, and give it to the one who has the 10 talents, for everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whatever he does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant aside into the outer darkness, where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The whole point of this was his master came back on a day he was not expecting. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Over and over, it tells us in Matthew 24 and 25, keep watch, because you don't know. And that signifies very clearly that Jesus isn't going to tell us now the day or the hour. Here, none of these servants know. None of them. And if Jesus was going to reveal it, it would have been to one of these servants, right? If Jesus could reveal it. So no one knows the day or the hour, and that will not change until it actually happens. This is at God's command. That's an important point. Anyway, no one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. Now notice that comparison. You can see what he means about Noah here. They knew nothing. They were marrying and given in marriage, eating and drinking, and they knew nothing until the flood came and took them all away. They knew nothing. How did he preface this? No one knows the day or the hour, not either the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. And then he goes straight in, as it was in the days of Noah. You see the point. The whole focus of that thing about Noah isn't about the destruction. The whole focus on the days of Noah was not about Jesus coming in secret. The whole focus, or the wicked being gathered, the whole point of that was it happens when you don't expect it. That Jesus' coming is unexpected. He comes at an hour you think not. That no one knows the day or the hour. It was the same as the people of the flood. They didn't know anything till the flood come and took them away. How many of you see that point there? You see the comparison very clearly? This is the context. This is the context of what he's trying to get a point to you. It isn't just about their destruction, and it isn't just about them not being ready. It's about the fact that they knew nothing until the flood come and took them away. Because no one knows the day or the hour. Not the angels in heaven, not even the Son. Nobody. That's in the Father's hands. It comes in an hour you think not. This is the focus of all of these things in Matthew 24, and we're going to see that. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. They'll know nothing, right? Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Why? Because they know nothing until it happens. Can y'all see that? No one knows the day or the hour. The Son of Man comes at an hour you think not. This is why one will be left behind. No. No clue. Nope. Not to the day and the hour, no. The season, we have plenty of things. But Jesus told us about the season in the beginning. In Matthew 24, starting in verse 4 through 14, he tells us about the season. And he says, watch out that no one deceives you, verse 4, for many will come in my name, claiming I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed, for such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pangs, of the birth pangs. Then you'll be handed over. And then against that, in verse 14, with he that endures to the end will come. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So he's given us the season from the beginning, right? And signs that his coming is close, but the day of the hour is completely unexpected. And this is why, you know, Paul uses the woman as a woman in travail in 1 Thessalonians 5. You know, we all know the season in which a baby is born, right? The birth pangs start. We all know that the baby's coming, but still babies are born in taxicabs. Because why? Because they come at an hour you think not. Right? It's unexpected. The whole idea of the thief, and we're going to read that right now. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch. See, you can know the time of night, you know, in general, because of the days, but you don't know what hour he's coming, do you? So you keep watch. Understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour that you do not expect him. Can you see where the focus is? Can you see right here, this simple thing, and I'm hammering on this, because this right here has caused a lot of people a lot of problems where false interpretations are concerned. There are many, many interpretations of this about what the days of Noah mean, what the thief means, the whole thing. And the focus, the tenor of all of this is based upon the idea that he comes at an hour you do not expect him. It's not about a secret coming. It's about an unexpected coming. It's about not being ready. It's being caught off guard. Right? We have signs that tell us it is the time to keep watch. Right? So that we're not caught off guard. But the fact is, no one knows the day or the hour, so he's going to come in an hour that you don't think of. And that's a fact. But if you're at watch and ready, he's not going to surprise you as a thief would, is he? If you're watching and ready, he's not going to surprise you. Who's he going to surprise? He's going to surprise all of those who aren't paying attention. Right? Who aren't watching. You're told to watch. Listen, you would not be told to watch if anybody could know the day or the hour. Right? It's like when I was a kid. We knew that Dad got off at 5:30 in the afternoon. We knew that. We knew it took him about 30, 45 minutes to drive home. But we didn't know when to expect him. Right? So we would keep watch, because if Dad caught us unaware, we were going to get our butts whooped. You know, we knew that when he came home, we better be in the yard. Our chores better be done. Right. That all of this better be ready. We knew we better not leave the house before he got home, because if we just think, well, he's going to delay his coming today, he won't get home till 7. He probably stopped off at the bar, which was entirely possible. So we begin to be a little lax and think, well, we can get away with sneaking off for a little while. And then he would show up, right? 6:15 on the dot, and we wouldn't be there, and we would be in trouble. And that's the thing it was with Dad. We were always in fear because he came in an hour you didn't expect him. He was unpredictable. Even though we knew what time he got off work and what time he should be home. Right? And it's the same kind of deal. We would keep watch because we didn't want to get in trouble. Well, we need to keep watch so that Jesus doesn't catch us unaware when he comes. And this is the focus of all of these parables. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give him their food at the proper time? We're going to talk about the proper time, the proper season, okay? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him so doing when he returns. It would just be like me. It would be good for my dad to find me raking the yard when he pulls up. Not on my butt in the living room watching TV while there's leaves in the yard. You know, because he caught me unaware, because I thought he was going to be late. Thought I could squeeze some TV in. But blessed is the one he finds so doing, right? It will be good for that servant whom master finds him so doing when he returns. I tell you the truth, he'll put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, "My master is staying away a long time." And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. See, it's all about expectancy, isn't it? He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I want to go back to this. Who is then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give him their food at the proper time? This is a direct reference to apostles. And the proper time. Can you see that there is a time that is appointed by God that we eat, so to speak? Especially here in this last day's church. There is a time for him to open up Revelation. Can you see that Daniel was told up to seal up that revelation because it was for a future time? Get it? An appointed time.
This Jesus is asking this question, who is he? Who is that faithful servant? Listen. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of his servants and his household to give him their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him so doing when he returns. I tell you the truth, he'll put him in charge of all his possessions. Can you see how this is a reference to apostles? Because they're in charge of the household and the servants. And you can see something here really interesting. The knowledge and the revelation is going to come to the church through apostles. Can you see that? The knowledge and the revelation of what it is we need to know is going to come through apostles. Those servants who God has put in charge of the household. That's the key. Those servants whom the master has put in charge. Right. They are very much like a watchman. And they're the ones that, you know, by doing that example of being ready at all times, they're setting an example for all the household, aren't they? But we see many hirelings right now, right? And they're doing that other thing. They're supposing Jesus, they're scoffing. Our master has delayed his coming. Where's the promise of his coming? Where's the promise of his coming? And they beat the fellow servants and take advantage of them, don't they? And they eat and they drink with the drunkards. And they've said in their hearts, well, Jesus doesn't see and he ain't coming back. That's what they've said in their hearts. Whether they admit that openly or not, their whole attitude and disposition shows that. And it shows that they are hirelings. And they will never be put in charge of God's possessions. Now, I want you to think about these possessions for a moment. All right? Who then is the faithful and wise servant who the master has been in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him so doing when he returns. I tell you the truth, he'll put him in charge of all his possessions. He'll be faithful in little, right? He'll be rewarded in much, right? Well, what are we talking about, the possessions? What are we talking about? What kind of possessions is he going to be put in charge of? No, not sheep. Sons. Let's read in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Just a second. And you also, verse 13, you also were included in Christ, Paul tells the Ephesians, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, as sons, right? Until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So, the leadership that is faithful in the little things will be put in charge of all God's possessions. You see that point? So who then is the faithful and wise servant? The question is, how do you identify apostles? Who then is the faithful and wise servant? The faithful and wise servant is the one that is feeding the people in due season. And he's not drinking with the drunkards. And he doesn't suppose or teach that our master has delayed his coming. He doesn't abuse the people of God. Can you see how this is a clue as to how you identify who is the wise and faithful servant? How you recognize who has been put over you? How you recognize God's authority structure in the church?
See, the whole question is, who are those men that God has sent? Right? Who are those that God has appointed? That's the question that's asked here. Who then is the faithful and wise servant that God has put in charge of his household? Right? Can y'all see that? He's the one who is bringing meat at the proper time. That means he has to be watching and praying, huh? To know what the proper time is. That means he has to be walking in the revelation of Christ and following God, right? In order to be ready to receive this revelation. In order to share it and distribute it among God's household. Now, this shows you how revelation is going to come to the last days church, doesn't it? And through whom? And how you'll recognize them. You see how important that is? And it all comes back because the Son of Man comes in an hour you do not expect him. You must recognize, you must be fully awake and recognize what God has set in place in order to be fed and in order to be ready. It also tells you something else, huh? The revelation you're receiving is an indicator of what God has sent you. The avenue of revelation is an indicator of God's authority. According to this, is it not? Who, Jesus? He's coming literally. Literally, bodily. He's coming. Same way he left. Just checking. Yeah, there's a lot of people who are teaching some bad stuff, huh? Blue. That's tantamount to teaching he's coming in secret and that he's in the inner rooms or he's already returned and you just don't see him. And the Bible tells us, Jesus himself said, don't be deceived in any way. Because as lightning shines from the east and is visible to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Every eye will see him. And all those, yes, and all those nations of the world will mourn when they see his sign in the sky, which immediately precedes his coming. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Right? It's very literal. You cannot get away from that. Jesus' coming is very literal. Amen, Rocky. But do you see the point here? How you recognize what authority that God has sent? See, it's not just somebody who claims to have authority. He's going to be busy so doing, feeding the household, isn't he? Who is the faithful? Everybody's asking that question right now, isn't it? Who are the apostles? Where are they? Isn't that what they're asking? That's the same question this asks and answers. Who then is the faithful and wise servant that God has put over his household? Let me read this from Matthew again in its order. This is a key, and you need to hear it. You need to get familiar with it. You need to recognize what's coming. Who then is the faithful and wise servant? Verse 45, Matthew 24. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him so doing when he returns. So how do you recognize that servant? Is it because he claims that he's an apostle? He's busy about the work, isn't he? Right, he's doing it. And he's bringing forth food from heaven to feed you. Right? You want to know who the apostles are that God has sent? Well, now you'll know how to recognize them.
Clarity, isn't it? And this is the kind of clarity we need. No guessing games in it. Because Jesus comes in an hour you don't expect. But those who are waiting for Him wait upon Him. And they're busy, awake, and looking, and busy. They're busy as if He is coming. They're not assuming He's not coming back and starting to just do their own thing and scoffing about where the promise of His coming is. They're not lax, or lackadaisical. They're busy. They're working with an urgency because they expect Him. They expect Him who comes in an hour you think not. If the owner of the house had been watching, then the thief wouldn't have been able to break in, would he? Jesus comes as a thief in the night. And all those who don't expect Him will not be watching. And they'll be caught just like those people in the days of Noah, who knew nothing until the flood came and took them all away. So how are you going to be encouraged into watching? Here's the point. Part of it is recognizing the leadership that God has appointed, right? Because they're going to focus you on watching. And they're going to be setting the example of watching. And they're going to be working with an urgency as if Jesus can come, right? The way they act will key you to the season that you need to be watching. Isn't that true? You can take your cue from those that God has put in place. Right? That's one of the ways. You know, you need to watch and pray for yourself, absolutely. But if you recognize what God has ordained, then you got somebody who's going to focus you on watching, huh? And you're going to have an example played out before you. You see that? How many of you see that? And they'll always be reminding you of that. Amen? It's a good place to stop.